This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon, produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. It is our prayer that this program will inspire and motivate you to turn to the Scriptures alone for God's truth. What we believe and why we believe it. The subject of authority continues as our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his guest, Jim McCarthy, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about Himself, about us, what He expects of us, and most importantly, what He has done for us, that we might spend eternity with Him. My out-of-studio co-host for today's program is Jim McCarthy, the author of The Gospel According to Rome and What Every Catholic Should Ask, producer of the video Catholicism, Crisis of Faith, and head of the ministry Good News for Catholics. Jim, the topic we've been wrestling with for the last few weeks, as you know, is authority. In whom or in what do we put our trust regarding matters of faith? And the reason we're taking our time on this subject is because I can't think of a more important issue which one needs to consider and which, of course, everyone needs to resolve. It affects both our temporal life and where we will spend eternity, doesn't it, Jim?
Well, that's right, Tom. The question of in whom are we going to trust really is the basis of everything. Everybody now on both sides of this debate would say we're trusting God, but that kind of begs the question, how do we know what God is telling us to do? The Roman Catholic Church answers that question, that it is God's representative on earth, and we should trust it to lead us to the path of salvation. Now, as you know, Tom, at the time of the Reformation, there was great controversy about this, and many Catholics, theologians and priests said, wait a second now, when we read the scriptures for ourselves, we're finding something different than what the church is telling us, and began a movement where people started going back to what the original church did, and that was trusting the writings, the sacred writings, as God's word directly, not going through an institution, a particular group of men or a church, to tell them what to believe and what to trust.
Jim, as a former Catholic, you put your trust in the Catholic Church, and they refer to the Word of God just as you would now as an evangelical, but they have a little different meaning when they talk about the Word of God, don't they?
Well, that's right, Tom, and I think a lot of people don't understand this. In Roman Catholicism, the Word of God is Scripture and tradition as interpreted by the Church. That's the definition of the Word of God. The Second Vatican Council, for instance, described the deposit of faith, or what had been received from Christ, as a pool of water. And emanating from that were two streams, one called tradition, unwritten truths, and Scripture, the written truths. And these two kind of came together and formed one thing, which the Catholic Church calls the Word of God. Now, I have a problem with that, because I have no problem with the Scripture being the Word of God, but when you start saying that these teachings of men, the teachings of the Church, things passed down in unwritten form are also the Word of God, what verse comes to mind? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. I say, well, which is going to be the primary one? And, of course, Catholic Church and Sailor are the same, but when I compare them, I find contradictions. And so feel really that the wiser thing is to stick to Scripture, which Jesus called in John chapter 10 the Word of God. He never called tradition the Word of God, but criticized it very severely.
Yeah, Jim, I want to get into how the integrity, you mentioned the Catholic Church talks about God's truth, how truth has come down through the centuries in an oral form or particularly an unwritten form. But before we get to the how that integrity is maintained, it's more than just what the apostles said to their disciples and then elders or bishops on down the line, what they said to one another. Sacred tradition involves quite a bit more than that, doesn't it?
It does. The Catholic Church says that down through the centuries, doctrine has been developed as the Church has come to better understand the truths contained within itself. And it says that it's able to do this because of what's called the magisterium, the official teaching office of the church, which it claims is infallible, incapable of teaching error. And that as these bishops kind of get better in touch with the church and what it believes, they're able to define doctrine more precisely. And so throughout the centuries, there's been new doctrines coming out of the Roman Catholic Church, which they would say have been there from the beginning, but its critics would say there's no evidence was there in the beginning. These things are just the inventions of men.
Mm-hmm. So given all of these things, and I believe a couple of weeks ago when you were on, we talked about things such as music, stained glass windows, rituals, again, liturgies, all the different things that make up liturgies, that would be a part of sacred tradition, wouldn't it?
That would be part of the vehicles that transmit what the church calls sacred tradition. They would say that the revelation, Vatican II said that the revelation received from Christ closed with the passing of the last apostle.
Mm-hmm.
But that information has been passed down through the centuries through all these different organs, including, like you mentioned, prayers, catechisms, liturgy, hymns, stained glass windows, artwork, institutions, all those things, Tom.
Prayer practices from the rosary to novenas.
Exactly.
On and on.
That's right.
Plus,
all that together contains tradition and passes it on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the what I'm sort of driving at, Jim. What we're trying to at least identify here is how the integrity of truth is maintained when you have something that's so subjective. I know they believe that it's guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, but just the vehicle of that compared to God's written word. When you compare one to the other, you'd have to say one area involving all methods and means and ideas and concepts and practices and so on, they're incredibly subjective, aren't they?
Well, they are. Rome would say, though, that the bishops have preserved the truth,
mm-hmm.
that the church itself is the guardian of that deposit of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, if you accept that, ultimately your faith is in them. Your faith is in them that they are able to do this and that what they are telling you is indeed true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not directly in God's written word, in Christ and the prophets, but it's in the bishops who are telling you additional things.
Right.
That's a major step.
So,
accept that.
You know, you as an evangelical, and myself included, we would turn to Acts 17:11, where it talks about those who were in Berea, who are commended because when the Apostle Paul preached to them, now here's an elder in the church, I don't know if you could call him a bishop, but certainly someone who wrote most of the New Testament, when he presents something to them, they're able to take what he says and then objectively go to the Scriptures. And that's how they're commended. It says they searched the Scriptures daily to see if what the Apostle Paul was saying was true. But you can't do that with a system that involves so many different aspects over its long periods of time and is incredibly subjective.
That's true. If you asked, for instance, a Catholic priest to give you a list of all the doctrines contained in tradition, he would tell you, I can't do that because there is no complete list.
Mm-hmm.
You can't examine it because it's never been written down. Even to this day, technically speaking, Catholic tradition is in unwritten forms. Now, there's witnesses to that tradition, the Church says, in its documents, like documents of the councils or even the Church Fathers. Those witness to what's in tradition, but that's not exactly tradition itself. And so there's no complete list. There's nowhere, Tom, you can go and examine it for yourself in total. Again, you're just left with, you got to trust them. You have to accept their claims for this position of being God's spokesman on earth.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you make an interesting point in your book, The Gospel According to Rome. You give a scenario in which an individual who knows nothing about Christianity, nothing about Catholicism, but at a point in time he's given a Bible, And all he does for a period of time is read the Bible. And let's say he reads it through completely. And then he begins to want fellowship. I think this is a really interesting scenario. And you have him coming to a Catholic church and sitting in a pew. Now, can you pick it up from there? What would he see that he could identify with?
Well, you know, one of the things first would catch him is all the statues in many of the churches. Particularly, you know, we don't see it as much here in the United States, but travel to South America mm-hmm. or to Europe, the older churches are just filled with these statues, which earlier Christians condemned as idols. He would see a man dressed in very elaborate robes. He would see rituals, stained glass windows, and ceremonies going on, none of which he would have ever found from his own study of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point is this, that if you study the Bible and then go look at the Catholic Church, you're going to find a lot of things there that you can't find in the Bible. In fact, it's been said you can know the Bible very well and know very little about Roman Catholicism, because so much of what is distinctive about Catholicism comes from sources outside the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. So the man would be left with a very important question: is this the Christianity he's been reading about in the Scriptures, or is this something else?
Now, you also point out in your book that the Catholic Church would object to this scenario, that this man somehow could find truth, could find salvation, just by reading through God's Word.
And the Church would say that such a man, you know, looking at the Church and trying to judge, is this true Christianity, this would be a meaningless exercise, because the Church says, for instance, that no one can believe alone, just as no one can live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to understand the truth, if you want to read the Scriptures, you have to come to the Church, because it's only the Church, Tom, the Roman Catholic Church, it says, has the ability to accurately and authoritatively interpret the Bible. And so for the idea of this man or you or me to open up the Scriptures, to look at Catholic doctrine and say, hey, this doesn't line up, they'd say, well, that's not your job. The job of the Church is to find and judge and know the truth, not you, a mere layman.
Mm-hmm. You have a quote in there, the man has neither the knowledge nor the authority to judge the Church. And I'm sure there are some listeners out there to say, well, it's the same with you guys. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Well, our heart here is, as the main topic for this program, these programs that we'll be doing for the next couple of weeks, is authority. To whom do we turn, or in what do we place our trust? And to know God is indeed speaking, and we can trust that. It's got to be God's Word, and that's all we're doing. We're not setting ourselves up as experts or having more knowledge here or there. Yes, we both, Jim, have grown up Roman Catholic and spend lots of time in the Church, and now we're critical of the teachings of the Church, but not because we've developed the criteria, but because we're looking to God's Word, and I believe that's what God's Word is all about.
I agree, Tom. We love the Catholic people. We really want to bring them the truth. I know you've studied this topic. I've studied this topic for the last 25 years, trying to understand it, that I could explain to dear Catholic people the truths that I found in Scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And, Jim, let's finish off this segment with another quote from your book. You write, "Biblical Christianity holds that the plain teaching of Scripture, as illuminated by the Holy Spirit, contains all doctrine essential for salvation and Christian living. It recognizes Scripture alone as the supreme rule of faith." Now, Jim, you wrote those words, but that's not your idea. That's what the Scriptures proclaim, isn't it?
The Scriptures proclaim that they are sufficient, that they are God-breathed, and that they are profitable and useful for doctrine. And that's how we need to use them. They say, that's where I get my teaching. That's the example that the Lord Jesus left us.
Amen.
Tom will continue his discussion on the subject of authority next week with guest Mike Gendron. You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Jim will respond to questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
I very much enjoy listening to your program. It's very informative. However, when I try to pass the information, even to some of my evangelical friends, I'm accused of Catholic bashing. Do you have that problem, or is it just the way I'm going about it? Well, I don't know how he's going about it, or he or she, but that's a response that you get from some interesting circles which you wouldn't expect, particularly from evangelicals who are concerned that we're offending people, offending other Christians, and so on. How do you respond to that, Jim?
Well, I think you answered it well, Tommy. You said, we don't know how this guy's going about it, and I think both of us, I know I've experienced times when I've heard people criticize the Catholic Church, and I just cringe at their inaccuracies, their harshness, and they seem sometimes just pick on the most insignificant issues. And so I think sometimes, you know, Christians are guilty of this, of just kind of nitpicking and missing the point in some ways. So that can be the case. But there are some very substantive issues, though, that do need to be spoken about. And unfortunately, some people also want to identify that as just Catholic bashing, of just being, you know, mean-spirited and critical for the sake of being critical. And I think we need to separate these two, Tom.
Right.
There are some very important issues that are not being discussed today. Like the topic we've been discussing today is an important one, authority. If we can't in the public arena talk about, as Christians, how do we know the truth without somebody saying, oh, you're just bashing, well, I don't know how we're going to ever arrive at it. And the Catholic Church has committed itself to unity and dialogue. Well, I say, well, let's work towards unity and let's dialogue, but we're going to have to talk issues. And sometimes when those issues start getting to the point and then people don't want to deal with the issues, they just say, well, you know, you're bashing me and you're being critical of me. And sometimes it's just a cop-out not to deal with the problems.
Right. And, of course, when you mentioned the term dialogue, too much of what we see out there is a dialogue to compromise, to come to some consensus. We're not interested in coming to a consensus. We're interested in truth and really seeing what God's Word has to say. I mean, we that's non-negotiable, isn't it? Particularly with regard to the gospel. We can't vacillate on that or just agree to even to disagree. We have to contend, as Jude said, contend for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints.
I think we need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus and his apostles who were in constant controversy with the ruling Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And on the important issues, as you say, there is no compromise. There's no middle ground. And so we've got to hold to the truth. And sometimes people aren't going to like that, but I hope they see by the way we say it that we genuinely love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, too, we have an attitude that we can be corrected. I often tell people, Tom, in my discussions with them, with Catholics, look, if I'm wrong, show me. I don't want to remain in a position of ignorance or
right.
error. I would appreciate it if you would show me where I'm wrong in this, and I hope that I would have the humility to accept that correction.
Mm-hmm. The book of Timothy tells us clearly how we're to go about things, meekness, humility. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, and that's serious. God takes these things seriously. We can be part of the problem rather than part of the solution if we have a wrong heart, a wrong attitude, sometimes or rather being right than righteous. Our methodology, really how we go about it, we have to please God in that or it's all for naught.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? When we stand before God, it's going to be us and him, and both our attitudes and how we conduct our lives. We'll have to give an account, not who won the debate here on earth.
Right. Protestants hold so many beliefs in common with Roman Catholics that I sometimes wonder whether people like you just look for controversy. Why not just major on the issues where there is agreement? Well, That would be great if we could do that. But the issues are so diametrically opposed that the major issues, and I know you agree with this, Jim, you can't just let them slide. the gospel. It's either a gift or it's by works. And we know, the Catholic Church, that's what the Church holds to.
I've had this issue thrown at me several times, Tom, and you know what? How I respond now to these people who say, you know, will you just knock it off and let's just talk, you know, about our unity? I simply ask them, listen, can I ask you, have you ever studied Roman Catholic theology?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really know what you're saying?
Now, these are evangelicals, but also some Catholics, right?
Well, yeah. A lot of people don't understand what's at stake here, what the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a very kind way, they're just saying, well, look, can't we just shake hands and act like fellow Christians and leave it at that? And I say, well, you know, I wish it was that simple, but it's not. And so I ask them, you know, if they're an evangelical, I say, when was the last time you studied Catholic theology? Are you knowledgeable of what they teach? Well, no, but I have a friend, and this kind of thing.
Yeah, and a friend loves Jesus.
Yeah.
And what's the problem?
I think of what Paul writes in Romans 14. He says, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. And there's a lot of people approving something that they don't understand. They don't understand what the issues are. And so often what I'll do, Tom, is I'll just explain them. So, well, let me just explain to you a few things. If somebody taught this, and I tell them just a few of the basic doctrines, I say, what would you think of that? Oh, that'd be terrible. You know, we couldn't accept that. And I said, well, would you be surprised to learn that's exactly what the Catholic Church teaches?
Mm-hmm. Jim, in our last Q&A, the idea of Catholic bashing came up. Well, I think back to the Council of Trent. The Council of Trent in the 1500s was a response to the Reformation. And it took them 20 years. You know, they didn't do it every day, but over that period of time, around 20 years, the Roman Catholic Church presented its doctrines in contrast to what the Reformers had stated. And there are over 100 anathemas in there condemning evangelicals for what they believe. Isn't that right?
That's right. And a lot of Catholics, particularly Catholic apologists, will tell you that evangelical Christians are wrong, absolutely wrong. There's only one true way in the fullness of religion, and that's the Roman Catholic Church. And I appreciate Catholics who hold that view, that are just upfront and honest about it, and dogmatically believe that they are right and are willing to stand for it.
Well, it's refreshing, but they're still lost, right?
Well, it's more than refreshing. It's honest. And mm-hmm. On both sides of the offense, Tom, those who are saying we're all the same, the differences are insignificant, and that bothers me a lot more. That's a lot more dangerous, I think.
Right, because it can, and we've seen this, as Roman Catholicism seems to be becoming more evangelical. Terminology, ideas, concepts, especially since Vatican II. Although nothing substantial has been changed, there have been superficial changes that make, in a sense, them look more like us. And that has confused a lot of evangelicals. But the basic doctrines of the Church, the Catholic Church, have not changed and cannot change because it's an infallible Church, right?
That's right. Salvation is either by faith alone or it's by faith plus works. It's one or the other.
If you have questions for Tom to address in a future broadcast, stay tuned. We'll let you know where to send them in just a moment. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, produced and distributed by The Berean Call. If you would like to reach Jim McCarthy's ministry, Good News for Catholics, call him at 800-228-7412. Our ministry offers many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708, or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0940, and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael, Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you can join us again next week for another edition of According to God's Word.